Another good morning that God has given us, and we thank God for ability to be here and just to be in His presence. You know, at times we just have to wait, you know, and wait on Him. And each day we ask for strength, and God gives us strength. And as we're carrying on with our theme of hearing from God, and just. As part of our growth, our school of the Spirit, and hearing from God, we need to look at two aspects today, and which is two or three, which is now what people refer to call as visions, trances, or dreams. Maybe we'll capture maybe the visions part and the trances, and maybe we can open our Bibles. And we're going to read in Acts, the book of Acts. Acts, we're going to start with the vision of Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 10, maybe if you can just open there. Acts chapter 10, and then we'll also be able to see Peter. So now in Acts chapter 10, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms, that is, gifts generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up to me for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who had spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things, he sent them to Joppa. Now, when we speak of what is a vision is a mental picture or mental images which God gives us and which God gives His people when we are awake, okay? So you can see that this time, the Bible says that Cornelius, it was in the ninth hour, you know, and the ninth hour is 3 p.m. Now, what you have to understand is that the Israelites used to pray at mostly two times. In the temple, they will pray in the third hour, which was at 9 a.m., and also they will pray in the ninth hour, which was at 3 p.m. So, that is what used to be called the morning and the evening sacrifice. So, these were the two times where the Israelites were dedicated to pray, and I think it became common culture, of which Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he was not a believer, but you see, since he was a centurion, a Roman soldier, you know, in charge of a legion, and as he was in that place of, you know, the Israelites, he was, the Bible says, he was a devout man. That means he was devoted to God. He feared God. And you see, apart from his fear of God, he was also generous. But you see, God wanted him to translate this fear of God into the place of him to actually know God. So you see that vision in this place came with a purpose. You know, at times you can find someone will be like, no, I need a vision. I need to see this. But you see, this man had no opportunity to come to know the true God, in that, yes, he will fear God. He will honor God. And you see, in the world, there are many people like that who maybe fear God and they are zealous for God. And this is maybe they are lacking zeal without, you know, they have zeal, but they lack knowledge. And so in such circumstances, what God does is that he needs to reach them. You know, he needs to reach them. And, you know, there are countless, I mean, even today you will hear of many testimonies of people from other faiths who will tell you that, you know, actually Jesus appeared to them. And, you know, he told them to go to this place and, you know, and find this such that they are able to come to know him. And so it shows us that that visions are mental pictures which God gives to his people so that they can be able to form, to pass a message, to pass a message and also God's means of communication to his people. And you see, at times God does that because to catch our attention, or rather to give us a clear aspect of it. Now, vision happens when you're fully conscious. So now let's just carry on from verse 9, and then we will see also another means of communication, which is what we call a trance. Now in verse 9, the Bible says, the next day, as they went on their journey, near the city, Peter went up on the household to pray about the sixth hour. So that means Peter was going to pray. He went to pray in the rooftop at around midday, that sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, and let's carry on. And so heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him, and he let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object and the object was taken away up into heaven again. Now, if you just think of it, the Bible does not call it a vision, you understand? The Bible calls it a trance. Now, there's a difference between a vision and a trance in that the vision occurs when you're fully awake, but then the trance occurs in a point where someone is in a subconscious level, in that you're just awake, or you're just before you fall into sleep, or just before you get up from sleep, you know. So when you're in that zone where you're just subconscious, or you're just semi-conscious, and you're just about to wake up. Now, verse 17 tells us, "Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was named Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision or meditated on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Now what we see is that this image and this message that came to, first of all, to Cornelius, it was very directive. The angel came, "Go and call Peter, and go to the house of Joppa and send for Peter." But then now, for Peter, it comes a message which comes in form of, you know, it's like cryptic. It wasn't as clear because for Peter, he was already at a different level of understanding, and God wanted to communicate a message that had a deeper meaning. Now, you see, if you think about, instead of God just telling him, "I have called the Gentiles clean," you know, he gives him this vision, or this vision which he sees when he's in a trance state, where he sees all these four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, and they come to him, and he says, and he's told, "Rise, kill, and eat." And you see Peter, of course, reasons from a point where he is, his religious perspective. And you see, this is the place where our influence, our culture influences us, you know. So he reasons it from his place of what he understands. And in that point, he says that, you know what? I've never eaten anything unclean, you know. And he says, not so, Lord, not so, Lord, not so, Lord. But then the voice speaks to him and says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common, or you should not call unclean that which God has made clean. And you see, but there's something that we see and we hear and we learn from Peter, is that he actually spent time to meditate on it. Now, one thing you have to understand, that when God speaks, God is not someone who wastes his speaking, or rather his communication, in that he speaks to those that are ready to hear, those that are willing to hear, and those that he knows in their heart they will, you know, submit themselves to, you know, to contemplate, to think through, to meditate and ponder. And you know, when these supernatural events happen, and this might not be common to everyone, but you see, when God has given you the gift, especially those that are given the gift of prophecy, what God does is that he gives them, he communicates to them in symbols, he communicates to them in numbers, he communicates to them in signs, he communicates to them in sight, in hearing, and also in seeing. Like, you can be with someone and they can see, let's say, something written on someone's face. You know, you understand why? Because God has opened their spiritual eye to see that. Now, those are forms of God's communication. Now, but you see, as we spoke yesterday, that we must judge everything with the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is the foundation by which we judge. Now, let's look at the third aspect, which is dreams. And just to differentiate dreams are actually, they're similar to visions and trances, but the only difference is that dreams happen when we are asleep. Now, the Bible tells us, you know, out of the multitude of thoughts or desires, people dream, you understand? So it's possible that dreams can happen, and it just comes from our thoughts. It can come from the food we ate, from the interactions we had with people. But then there are also dreams that can come from the devil, in that the enemy can try to attack us through dreams, in that maybe you wake up or you're in the dream, you're being chased or you're being attacked by someone. Or some people also, they have this experience where they're having demonic dreams where, you know, demons come to, you know, sleep with them in the night and things like that. So these are aspects that are in the dream world. Why? Because it is also a world that exists. But you see, also in that dream world, also God also comes to communicate to his people and to seal instruction in it. And we'll also look at Job, which speaks of how God speaks to men, and in their dreams he seals instruction. That means he gives them an instruction and he closes it. And that instruction is what guides them. Now, for example, like Joseph, the Bible says Joseph had a dream. Genesis 37, he told it to his brothers. They hated him even the more. So he said that, now please hear this dream which I have dreamed. And he says, there we were binding sheaves in the field. And then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him. You know, so when we see the dream of Joseph, God showed him that through the symbols that, you know, that the sheaves of his brothers, you know, were bowing to him and they were not happy. And then later on, God also revealed the dream again. Because you see, Joseph was a prophet, because God will speak to him through dreams and visions. Think of even Joseph in the New Testament, who is the earthly father of Jesus. God will communicate to him through dreams. What is unique about dreams that come from God? Dreams that come from God are very specific. They they communicate a specific message, but then beyond that also, you cannot forget it. That's the thing with God. When God communicates that dream, he puts it in a way that you have no shadow of doubt that this is from God. Now, if you wake up and you just forget about it and it's nothing, you don't contemplate on it, then you can miss that instruction. But you see, when God desires to speak to you in a dream, what he will do is that he will give it to you. And if you, when you wake up, you will remember, you will contemplate on it. And also one of the things that you will have to know if that, if it is a contrary dream, and whatever dream comes, you have to weigh it against the word of God. You see, someone can just not wake, sleep and say, oh, I saw in my dream that, oh, this man of God or this person was committing, you know, sin and immorality. And then you now come and say, why were you doing this? You know, like this joke where someone was saying the woman accuses the husband that, you know, you are cheating in my dream, so you must have been cheating and things like that. So all these things have to be weighed against scripture. They have to be weighed against truth. And we must not use them as a basis to control people or also as a basis to, you know, to establish doctrine, because some people use visions, they use, you know, this dreams and trances as a means to control people or to guide their steps. What we say for the New Testament believer or for the new creation, first, most important is the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Then number two is the Word of God, in that you must hear by the Word of God, you must meditate on the Word of God, and you must align everything to Scripture. Then that's when you can bring in these aspects that are visions, dreams, and trances, and this come from God. You know, it's not that you seek it, you know, and we should not be like actively seeking. You know, someone can be, no, I need to see a vision, I need to see a vision. No, let us not be actively seeking this, because you see, the Bible tells us that the enemy manifests, or he pretends to masquerades as an angel of light. So when you're in the desire of constantly seeking these things and it is not given to you, what happens is that the enemy can use such an opportunity to bring confusion into your life. And you can find someone is saying, Nombi, I'm going to the mountain, I'm leaving my work, I'm going to pray. And then they come from there, that God has told them not to, you know, to go to school and things like that. Things that just don't align with what is a rational mind, you know, what is a rational human being. And before you know it, such people, they end up becoming mad and they are lost on the streets. But you see, if you look constantly at scripture, whenever visions was given, like, for example, Saul on his way to Damascus, when he met Jesus, there was a clear message. Everyone saw the light. Everyone, you know, but it was only Saul that had the voice and he saw Christ, you know, and he asked, who is it? And then he was told, it is I, Jesus, that you are persecuting. So God gives us a means of communication. And if you look at, just to seal that, in Job 33, verse 14, it says, for God does speak, for God speaks in one way or in another, yet a man does not perceive it. Verse 15, Job 33, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon them, while slumbering on their beds. Verse 16, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man away from the deep and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So this is the scripture I was quoting, that when God speaks to us, God speaks even though men do not perceive it. He can speak in a dream, he can speak in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. So that's what God does when he comes to communicate to us. So this is really one of the means that God uses to communicate to his people. And the most important thing is there is an instruction in it. and what is the instruction and how do we obey it. So you must know how God speaks to you. And there are people who God just dreaming is just part of them. Like, and even before they know God, you know, some people, they will just tell you, no, me, I dreamt this and it will happen. My dreams come true. So that tells you this person, God already had given them a prophetic gift. That means that when they commit to God and carry on, then God will be communicating to them even more in dreams and giving messages. So that's part of the gift of prophecy, but it is also a means of communication. And even if you don't have the gift, God can still use such an opportunity to give you a picture. And if you can think of men of God, they will tell you that what I'm doing, like if you think of, let's say, you know, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, he says that he was coming down from a plane and he just saw a picture, a vision of a church that looked like a stadium. And he was seeing the different layers. And then he asked his wife, do you see what I'm seeing? And the wife was like, no. But he said, I'm seeing this. And then he meditated on it and he realized that God wanted them to build a church that looks like a stadium. And that was the first time. And they have never done anything like that. They didn't have the money, but they built it. You understand, by faith. And they say they built it in 30 months. Now, that tells you that when God gives an instruction, our response to it and how we obey determines how God speaks further and how God releases that. So it's very important not to trivialize prophecies or not to trivialize, you know, communications from God. They might be simple, but as we meditate on it and as we ask for wisdom, think of Daniel. The Bible says that he sought to gain understanding. He sought to understand the meaning of the vision. And when he sought to pray, then the angel came and said, I have come to give you instruction. On the 21st day, the angel came and said, I have come to give you instruction and to give you understanding of what you wanted to know. From the day you humbled your heart, the answer was given. But now I've come to give you understanding. So God is able to give us understanding of visions, of trances, of dreams. The most important thing is, are our hearts yielded to hear, yielded to understand? And as we, you know, as we engage in prayer, as we engage in fasting, as we engage in reading of the Word of God, let us just, our antennas be open, our antennas be alive to hear how God speaks, because He speaks in different ways. And it is only the sensitive heart that will not miss Him. So anyway, today that's what I wanted to cover on hearing the voice of God. And I pray that God will give us wisdom and more learning into it. So my brother, you're welcome if you have any reflections. Okay, thank you. Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us and just teaching us this morning to understand the place of visions and dreams that, Lord, you have purposed, that we should hear your voice. And indeed, you say, let us write the vision down. Let us make it plain on tablets that a herald may run with it. And I pray that your people today, that you have given direction, you have given instructions in visions and dreams, that, Lord, may we be obedient to that heavenly calling. May we be obedient to that vision. May we be sensitive to do that which you have asked us to do. And may we move from one level of glory to another. Thank you for the people, that our eyes be open. May our eyes see, may our spiritual eyes see and be open and receive this gift that you want us to have. Indeed, may we be led by you, because as you say, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We pray that even as we go to do our responsibilities, go ahead of us, keep us, sustain us, watch over us, give us victory. We rebuke sickness from our midst. We rebuke poverty. We come against every works of the evil one. Strength from on high is what we need. And indeed, we thank you and we honor your holy name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning and day ahead.